During the Irish Civil War, there were numerous cases in which anti-treaty IRA volunteers were killed after being captured by the National Army. The circumstances of those killings are often unclear, but they left a lasting legacy, subsequently becoming integral to how Republicans recalled and commemorated the conflict. In this piece, Ian Kennelly explores an example of those commemorations, reporting from County Longford on the case of Richard Birtles and two songs inspired by his life and death.
They say when it's all over, the carnival be back. Neighbours reunited, no fear of attack. With the barracks overflowing and the executions rife, we're watching our own people take each other's lives. I met with Birtles in Athlone, I marched to Ballymore. All along the Royal Canal, no telling what's in store. We sank into the boglands, we slept in every hole. Arriving in Drumrainy to the safe house, we were told.
That was Owen Burke singing When the Carnival Returns, a song that reflects on the death of Richard Birtles, an officer in the anti-treaty IRA from Drumrainy in County Westmeath. In 1923, Birtles was shot and fatally wounded by the National Army in the nearby village of Ballymore, not far from the border with County Longford. Recently, I met Owen, an actor and singer-songwriter, in the Longford town of Ballymahon, to where National Army troops brought Birtles in 1923. Grievously wounded by a shot to the stomach, Birtles, who was aged 31, died a few hours later. I spoke with Owen about Birtles' death and asked him why he chose to explore this subject in song.
So yeah, when I was commissioned to write a song for the centenary of the Civil War in Westmeath, Richard Birtles was one of the figures that kind of came to my mind. But I didn't want to write the song, you know, in homage of one person. I wanted to bring in various aspects of the effects of the Civil War on the people in Westmeath. So the song is called When the Carnival Returns, which is in reference to an article that I read about the carnival being cancelled during the Civil War. And then, you know, it's like the everyday stuff that was happening in Athlone and the area being paused for this brief interruption of a civil war. And then when I read up about various situations happening, Richard Birtles' assassination and his life and his legacy, I couldn't really ignore it, because I was actually living near where he's from in Drumrainy, where the funeral would have taken place. So it really brought it home. I could see the funeral as I was driving to Athlone.
Richard Birtles was a veteran of the War of Independence, during which he'd been a prominent member of the IRA's Athlone Brigade, taking part in multiple attacks on the British Crown forces. Those forces captured Birtles in June 1921, and he was tried by military court-martial and sentenced to 5 years penal servitude in Ballykinlar internment camp, County Down. He was, however, released in the prisoner amnesty that followed the signing in December 1921 of the Anglo-Irish Treaty, an agreement that he opposed. During the subsequent civil war, Birtles became an active member of the anti-treaty IRA in the locality, a decision that led to the events of January 1923. Those events are recorded in an earlier song titled simply Richard Birtles, which was composed soon after his death and which forms a companion piece to Owen's work. Owen provided me with a rendition of this earlier song.
On the 23rd of January 1923, Commandant Richard Birtles gave his life for liberty. He was shot down by assassins of the Free State Murder Corps and gave his life for Ireland in Low Street, Ballymore.
The lyrics of that four-verse song, to which Owen added a melody, can be found in the collection of the Irish Folklore Commission, available to the public on the Dukas website. Between 1937 and 1939, primary school children took part in a scheme organised by the Commission, in which they collected local stories and traditions from older family members and neighbours. One of those collectors was Mary Moran, a young student living in Clonkeen, North Westmeath, who received the lyrics to the song Richard Birtles from her father John. The song, he told her, was composed by Joseph Farrell, a farmer at Ardnagrad from Rainy, County Westmeath, whom he described as a member of the IRA.
As the shades of eve were fallen, as alone he did stroll down along the lonely street of that desolated town,
beloved by all who knew him, anand the Flying Corps. He was cruelly murdered in Low Street, Ballymore. They tracked him down like bloodhounds by every means they could. For James McKeown, old traitor, long thirsted for his blood. At last they have succeeded, he now lies in his gore. 'Twas Sergeant Riggs that shot him down in Low Street, Ballymore.
The Richard Bertel song mentions two figures from the National Army, James McKeown and a sergeant named Riggs. Could they have been, as the song declares, responsible for the killing of Bertels? Contemporary records suggest that yes, it is possible. A National Army census conducted in November 1922 shows that James McKeown was stationed in Ballymahon. He was a younger brother of Sean McKeown, who was a renowned IRA veteran and the senior National Army commander in the region. James McKeown, then aged 22, was likewise a veteran of the War of Independence, having served with the IRA in North Longford. The census also revealed that the army contained a small number of soldiers named Riggs, and that most of them were members of the same family from Ballinacargy, County Westmeath. Although the song does not provide a first name for Riggs, there was then a 23-year-old soldier named Joseph Riggs stationed in Ballymahon. He had joined the National Army in April 1922. It is that member of the Riggs family, Joseph, who is named in another document, one given to the Military Service Pensions Board in 1934 by a man named Patrick Loughlin. In this document, Loughlin, who describes himself as a former adjutant of the IRAs at Lone Brigade, stated that Joseph Riggs was the officer who fired the fatal shot at Bertels, telling the Pensions Board that he had personal knowledge of what had occurred in Ballymore, although the source and extent of that knowledge remains unclear.
He fought for Ireland's freedom in many a bitter fight. Against Ireland's foes and traitors, it was always Dick's delight. And now shot down in his manhood by the Free State Murder Corps, he was proud to die for Ireland in Low Street, Ballymore.
In the days after Bertel's death, newspapers reported that the National Army force which had surrounded him was comprised of units from Athlone and Ballymahon. So it is possible, although by no means proven, that the situation developed as described in the Richard Bertel song and in Loughlin's letter. Bertels was executed with Joseph Riggs firing the fatal shot. But how common were such events during the Civil War? Cases in which anti-treaty IRA volunteers were killed while prisoners or in the moments after being captured? To answer that question, I spoke with John Dorney, Research Assistant with the Irish Civil War Fatalities Project in University College Cork.
One thing that we've noticed in the Irish Civil War Fatalities Project is that anti-treaty losses, fatalities, are less than pro-treaty losses. So killed in action and so on are much higher on the pro-treaty side. But of the anti-treaty losses, killed mostly in the IRA, the anti-treaty IRA, nearly half, about 40%, are killed after capture, whether they be formally executed by firing squad or, in well over 100 cases, killed after being taken prisoner. You find some cases where people are killed in hot blood, if you like, after ambushes, where pro-treaty troops are enraged by the losses that they've received, particularly if it's kind of a popular officer who had been in the IRA and so on. His comrades often sought revenge. That's one element of it. Another element is there are cases where people are identified, presumably, by pro-treaty intelligence, and they're sought out and killed. So in Dublin, you have quite a lot of cases like that. You have about 20 cases like that, for example.
News of Bertel's death shook the locality. Over 3,000 people were said to have marched at his funeral, and the Offaly Independence correspondent spoke of how the large and representative cortege proved that Bertels had maintained friendships with those on both sides of the treaty divide. Bertels' reputation had been enhanced before the Civil War by his participation in local politics. A Sinn Féin member of Ballymore Rural District Council, he was a prominent contributor to council meetings, regularly raising questions about local issues. The Westmeath Independent, although an ardent supporter of the treaty, praised his work as a councillor, stating that he won golden opinions by his deep interest in those whom he represented. Such accounts suggest that the locality had lost an enthusiastic public servant admired across society, and it is that aspect of the Bertel story which most intrigues Owen Burke.
The imagery of 3,000 people marching behind his coffin was strong for me, so it brought it home, that whole neighbour against neighbour situation, and who was marching in the funeral. It could have been people who were from both sides, you know, because he was a respected man in the community before his death and before the Civil War. You know, he was in the council, and that's fascinating to me, like the, how people can sit beside each other and stuff like the county council or whatever, and then suddenly overnight they're on different sides of the fence, and it's sad, but fascinating, you know.
In the longer term, Bartels was remembered more for the circumstances of his death rather than the life that preceded it. He was commemorated by Republicans as yet another casualty of state violence, and his name was listed alongside other anti-treaty IRA dead from the region. We hear again from John Dorney, who explains how such killings were remembered, especially by opponents of the treaty.
The experience of the anti-treatyites in the Civil War is that they perceived themselves as victim of this, what they call a murder campaign, in some cases by their former comrades, and it explains a lot of the bitterness and sense of victimhood that the anti-treaty Republicans take out of the Civil War. And so between the executions and what they call the roadside executions or the murders, they feel as if they're the victims of murderous repression, and often by their former comrades, and as the anti-treatyites see it on behalf of the British. Now, of course, the pro-treatyites see it in a very different way. They see it as the one chance for an Irish government to get off the ground, that their soldiers have been the victims themselves of a cowardly murder campaign by the other side. And they say, in terms of the unauthorised executions, well, what is one to expect, kind of thing.
In the few months before his death, Bartels seems to have struggled both personally and as an officer in the anti-treaty IRA, at least according to Thomas McGiff, Bartels' commanding officer. In 1934, McGiff was asked by the Military Service Pensions Board to supply evidence with regard to a pension claim by Helen Bartels, Richard's mother, in respect of her dead son. Although Bartels had been widely mourned after his death, McGiff struck a discordant note, telling the Pensions Board that Bartels had been drinking too much, was often absent from his unit, and that he had been neglecting his men. The accuracy or otherwise of McGiff's statement cannot be ascertained, but ultimately in 1936, Helen Bartels, who was then in her 80s, received a gratuity for the death of her son. The Pensions Board recommended an award of a little over £112, but the Department of Finance intervened, reducing the figure to 85. In losing her son, Helen Bartels was one more victim of that awful conflict, a legacy described by Owen Burke in the final verse of When the Carnival Returns.
The carnival, it came and went, but things just weren't the same. The hurt and loss was all around, the rage is barely tamed. A wounded generation, the pain passed on and on. Neighbor against neighbor, father against son. The silence was exploding like a battlefield within. Those women, men and children, no one ever wins. No one ever wins.
That was Ian Kennelly reporting there from Ballymahon, County Longford. There, he learned about two songs composed nearly 100 years apart, which explore the life and death of Richard Bartels, an officer in the anti-treaty IRA who was shot and fatally wounded in 1923 during the Irish Civil War.